Thank you. As Guy says, I'm Matthew Gilliatt-Smith and Janice Pearson here. Janice has a wealth of experience from Warner Brothers and being at Convergent. Convergent, for those of you, I'm sure you do know Convergent, but we are providing risk assessment and mitigation. And as such, we're sitting on the sort of sidelines and able to sort of see, particularly medium, small size vendors and studios, what sort of incident response they're using. And we thought it'd be interesting to do an informal survey, sort of an anecdotal survey about the systems they're using. And the consensus was that most people are using manual methods of getting data in and how they're handling it. And so we looked slightly outside of media and entertainment and looked at what they're doing. And it does seem that quite a lot of organisations are using more of a central management system. So, first of all, let's look at the typical incidents. So not unsurprisingly, email phishing is kind of one of the most common, where you're being asked to put your password into something that looks really authentic. Attrition attacks on IP addresses, the freelancer getting overexcited and blocked, leading into perhaps a pre-theatrical leak. You've got potentially a laptop being stolen, and it happens all the time. Some sensitive trailers are there and getting leaked. And really, so things like improper usage. So someone's left the company, but he's still got access to log in. It's all those sorts of things. So there's a lot of information to gather. It can be pretty stressful. And the whole point about incident response is trying to log and draw patterns and try and prevent these things from happening. So looking at a lot of this information is anecdotal that I'm providing. But a lot of the manual systems that are out there are using, your Excel spreadsheet to log and report on the data. You're using email to communicate. You're also taking screen captures and what have you. And there you run into the first sorts of problems. You've got multiple offices, say, and you've got using a common platform to update information from different sources. You can have versioning problems. One anecdotal story we had was there was a potential issue having to rebuild 400 computers, and they found that there was one report, one version of the report was saying 400, another one was saying 425. Lots of conflicting information on the same report because it'd been input through two different browsers. And then email, you're talking, explaining issues, you're communicating the incident over email, which of course can be accessed. You've got issues with personal security and things like that. There's a story about a CISO who'd left. He'd had a lot of data he'd been storing. Of course, when he'd left, the username password was all sort of rescinded, and they couldn't get into the log, which had all the evidence. And apart from anything else, trying to scramble together at the last minute when an incident has happened, all the data, is pretty challenging. And of course, you can overlook key parts. So enter the Central Incident Response Management Platform. Now this is where you have a segregated server where everything is put in that sort of ecosystem. And what's happening there is that you are containing all the information all in one central system. So you've got a full chain of custody. Everything is encrypted and hashed, and you're going to be much better equipped to handle a security incident if you've got all of this at your fingertips. Incident response communication should be on a need-to-know basis, so communicating is extremely important. How you do that, you might have an internal breach, and so you've got people on the inside who could be viewing the sort of incident response that you're handling. Also, you're discussing perhaps personal information about individuals, and you don't want to be breaching CCPR and GDPR issues. So by having it all encrypted and by dealing with it that way, you're going to be much safer. And also, where you've got incidents, where you've got malware, you've got an example of malware, if you bring it into the ecosystem, it's going to be encrypted, hashed, locked down, so it's going to be safe to use that as evidence. When you log into the home dashboard with a security system like this, you've got everything at your fingertips. Everything is auto-populated, up to the minute, because it's been input by multiple sources. You know, you get the charts, you can see what the incident rate is. You can look at your assets, whether they're physical assets like computers, or whether they're non-physical like IP addresses and locations. So you might have a vendor with four offices, two in the US, one in India, one in France, and you've got different people sort of logging in. Some will be of different levels of experience, and being able to control it all at once and have that information together is going to help. From the dashboard, you're going to be able to add different users, do the different levels of permissions, and to generate the communication. Most importantly, you want to be analysing the activity. What are the trends? So you've got your sort of full range of charts and graphs. And if you use a playback feature where you can graphically show sort of the steps to take. So, for example, if you've got an instance happen, someone has lost that laptop, with the data on it, you need to show them how to get back up and running again. Again, if it's a regional office and perhaps the IT people aren't as technical as you'd want, showing them graphically how to do this is a good way. So this is where you use a series of templates, and you can just pull the templates, you can modify them, and just sort of keep building like that. So you can imagine how quickly it is to do something like this than just to start from scratch. I think that the other thing is when an incident happens, for example, one of the loyalty card sort of hoo-has that happened last year, imagine sort of what went on with the senior management saying, right, give us a report right now, try to scramble together this sort of thing. It's much easier within this sort of ecosystem. Now, when you're looking at the kind of issue of clients, users, and permissions, it should be really about really sort of drilled down, segregated chains of information. And this is where you would add your teams. You might have the enterprise analyst who'd have central control, he can see everything, do everything. But you might have analysts at tier one who can add evidence, they can view, but they can't create an incident, for example. And then you might have users in the field who are basically just sending evidence in a formatted way, but they can't view. And again, it's all about trying to contain the information and making sure that you use it on a sort of a must-know basis. Searching and alerts, again, if you can imagine you're in a central ecosystem, you've got a kind of a wizard approach whereby you're following a sort of set process, so that you've got step one, you're adding the notes of what the incident was, you've got the adding the users, you are taking each step in a kind of a formalized way, so you're not missing things out. And it means that you're not just reliant on one particular sort of individual to do this, you can have other analysts appointed for different groups. The having a search feature to look at all the text that has been input and recorded, having alerts for individual groups, individual items for individual security issues is a key thing to have. And all of this is going to save a lot of time. Again, when you're talking about processing the incidents themselves, running the evidence over sort of Windows images, being able to look at things in the IP addresses, helps you to perhaps plot and find what attack activity might be. You might have something. You might have people on the inside, or people who have access from the outside. And all this data at your fingertips is going to help you to do that. Also, you'll have information about accounts that have been compromised, and you can record and monitor this. And one of the key things really is that all this can be used as evidence which is immutable and can be used in that legal process. So one of the interesting things about a system like this is the communication. Having chat between just the key people who are working on a particular incident and making sure that no one else can see this is really key. And, you know, again, this could be neutral and used in logged and used in evidence. Having the communication of, you know, through email templates is really important as well, because when an incident happens, communicating it in a way that people are going to clearly understand it is going to be, you know, incredibly important. And, you know, being able to have the right legal disclaimers on, going through a proofing exercise with the wizard that will come through with this. I think that one of the key things is making sure that you've got the communication logs there, you know, again, for legal evidence. So in summary, what we're looking at here is, you know, what are the benefits of having a centralised management system? The company's clearly going to be better equipped to handle an incident emergency. You've got more information at your fingerprints, at your fingertips, more information to analyse and more intelligence to act on. You're less reliant on a few individuals, you know, if that the CISO who's kind of responsible for it, it's a Saturday afternoon, you know, he's busy, you know, he's scrambling to get the work there. If other analysts are involved, they can have permissions to log in and do this thing, you know, you're less reliant on individuals. So you're going to have faster response times. A real important point is cost savings, because, you know, fewer incidents means less costs. You might need less people to kind of manage a system like this. Now, a lot of the sort of anecdotal information I was giving was based on a case study with a program called Cyber CPR, which is actually featured in the SAMS training. And it's used by government departments both in the US and UK and Europe. And it's something that we're looking to adopt to be able to provide to the clients that we work with. A quick snapshot before I pass all the difficult questions on to Janice. Conversion, we're providing risk assessment and compliance services. We're the principal provider of the TPN assessment program. But separately to that, we're providing consultancy services through our professional services division, where we're doing, you know, affordable penetration testing and perhaps pre-assessments, policy work, and CCPR and GDPR and that sort of thing. And really what we're trying to do is provide a broad breadth of different services to vendors and studios to kind of help them, basically. In a snapshot, that's what that's kind of what this was about. We thought it was interesting to do this comparison. Now, obviously, probably preaching to convert it to a certain extent, because some people will be using mental systems very effectively. But it was just interesting to see how other industries are using, you know, more of an ecosystem with this sort of management software. So when I first put the slide in at the beginning to show what the actual incidents were, I thought I'd better do that, because judging by some of the audience participants here, incident can mean different things. Personal incidents in the NAB week can mean losing your wallet, getting a tattoo, getting a bad suntan, getting married, and so on and so forth. So I think the thing is that if you've got good questions, either ask them now or ask them later on or at Omnia on Tuesday night. Thank you very much.
Do we have any questions from our audience?
Questions, anyone? I'll add some comments, because I think the other important piece of this, much along the lines of the ISAC, is to be able to feed information into even a larger community than maybe just your customer base. So I'm hoping efforts such as this and other incident response frameworks that are out there that are being driven from a financial, right? The idea is you're going to save some people money, you've got a machine to put them through that you think is really going to work for them. The idea is also, what bits of data could we share when those incidents really come out and report? And even if it isn't from the individual themselves, I'm hoping even some high-level macro data
sure.
I might be able to.
And I can definitely speak to that. One thing that's, you know, when you do have a platform, and this is one example of one, but you do have the ability to feed data from other systems or other systems where you might get some additional intelligence that will be helpful. I think one thing that's important to think about when you're thinking about incident response is that control of the evidence. Because if you lose control of the evidence, and you're relying on email, maybe let's say, maybe you're a studio and you had a leak and you have multiple vendors that were working on that content and you're trying to determine who is responsible for that leak, you're getting data from many different sources. And so it's really important to keep all of that organized and also to be able to use some internal intelligence to be able to start to notice patterns, because you're having to work very quickly. And also, that least privilege is so important when we're involved in instant response. If you're an organization and you have somebody that you have a suspect that's in your internal organization, and you suspect that they've done something improper, you have to be very careful in how you handle that data and who has access to that. Because if you don't handle that data in a way that you're only keeping the people who need to know, you open yourself up to legal risk. Because let's say maybe you have an assistant who reads your emails. If they see emails going back and forth and you're actually naming the person, you know, people can gossip. Or if you have too wide of a net, you're sending emails, you don't know how that email can be forwarded. And so you might say oftentimes, okay, well, we're gonna use a secure platform, like maybe Box, to pass on that information. Again, if you have download capability, again, you lose control of that data. So it's very important to be able to show that you've kept complete control of that chain of custody. Because otherwise, you have no legal recourse in court.
Great.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Matthew.